Turn in your Bibles this morning, saints, here. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're going to read verse 46 to 49. Luke 6, 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth, a lot of people hear, but listen to this, and doeth not, is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Lord, we love you. We thank you today. We pray, God, that you just bless and bless, move and touch everyone here today. God, I want to see your will go forth. I pray, Lord, that all of us will leave here changed. All of us will leave here with a great desire, Lord God, to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning. God's will is that we build a life that will last. God's will is that we will build a life that will last. You see, folks, Jesus stressed the importance of laying a good foundation for your life. But why should we be concerned with my life's foundation, yes? And how, Pastor, can I make sure that I have laid the right foundation? Well, we'll look into that this morning, but I want to tell you a story. Several years ago, there was a new housing subdivision in Mesquite, Nevada. It was a beautiful building project and absolutely brand new, but there was a problem that arose. Several months after many of the families had moved in, serious cracks began to develop in the driveways and in the roads, and there was constant disturbing smell of methane gas coming from the ground. And what was wrong was, well, it seemed that the builders of the subdivision had built about 8 of the homes directly on top of a landfill, and the landfill was about 20 feet beneath the living rooms of these homes. Things got so bad, the floors shook and the walls began to crack and the houses began to sink into the ground. And obviously, someone had forgotten the importance of building on a good foundation. You see, folks, many renovators of older homes will tell you that there are two things they look for when they decide to take on a project. First, they want to know if the roof is sound. And I'm not necessarily talking about the shingles. I'm talking about if you ever look at a house, sometimes you can see it bows like this. That is a sign of a problem. And second thing they look for is the foundation, because if you see that bow, there's probably problems with the foundation. I've been around building all of my life, and you see, many things in a house you can fix, just about anything. But if either of the roof or the foundation is bad, many of these people, these guys that renovate homes, won't even touch it. Jesus tells us in Luke 6 to pay close attention to our foundation. Jesus tells us the wise men in this scripture that we read, he said he dug deep and he laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against the house and could not shake the house, why? Because it had been built well on a foundation. Amen. But when you read the scripture that talks about the fool, it says the fool built a house also in the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house, the Bible said, was great. See, in the Sermon on the Mount, when you read in the Gospels of Matthew, Jesus used a much similar illustration. But in that sermon, he spoke of the wise man building his house on a rock, whereas the fool built on the sand. In the days of Jesus, that was a powerful imagery. You see, Jesus' audience could picture a man building his house on the sand where he would lose it if a massive flood came. Much of the water in Israel came down out of the mountains. And when there was a heavy rain in the mountains, it came down in a flood. And you could tell where the water was going to flow because there was dry riverbeds called wadis where the waters flowed down toward the sea. And when there was no flood, the riverbeds was a flat and easy to build on. But a wise man would never build on that. You see, now, why would anybody in their right mind build on dry riverbed if that is going to happen, if these floods are going to happen? You see, apparently, someone who would do that was not very smart. In fact, the only motivation for building a home on those riverbeds would have to be laziness. You see, it was flat, it was easy, and housing construction wouldn't take much effort. But notice what Jesus said about the wise man. He said, he dug deep and he laid a foundation where? On the rock. The wise builder had to work hard to make sure his foundation was secure. So in our text, we read, God teaches us a valuable lesson. He teaches us how we can build lives that will last. Amen. I believe all of us here, if I went down and asked you individually, do you want a life that's going to last? Do you want a good life? And I think everybody would say yes. We want a good life. But are we willing to do what it takes to have a good life? That's the question. The Lord teaches us that we need to build our lives on the right foundation. The most important part of building is not what you build. You're better off to build a log cabin on a rock than to build a mansion in a swamp. Amen? Folks, everyone that is here right now, you're going to face problems in your life if you're not already facing a situation. So you may face a time in your life of depression. It is a terrible thing going through a time of depression. And sometimes you fall into a deep depression because of heartaches in your life. And sometimes you can be depressed for no reason at all. You may face a time here. You may be going through a time of discouragement. You see, there are times, folks, when things just don't go our way. Amen? Things just don't go the way we planned for them. There will be times when you can't figure out what is going on and you become down and out. Amen? You will also face times of disturbances. There is one thing that no one, hear me today, no one can avoid, and that is the storms that will come in your life. See, now the Lord teaches us here in this passage of Scripture, that not only will the storms come into your life, but He teaches us that during this time of trouble, that each one of us can build a life that will be durable, that will be dependable, that will have a destination that will take you straight to heaven. But folks, hear me today. You cannot have a durable, you cannot have a dependable and get to the destination that we all want to go to, and that is heaven, unless you build with a great foundation. Amen? You must have the right foundation. It is good to build a nice looking life. But It is another thing to build a long-lasting life. The key to building a life that will last forever, Jesus said, is to build upon the rock. The fact of the storm, folks, must be expected. You hear me? You decide to build however you're going to build, but you always keep in mind there will be a storm. It's going to happen. I am expecting it. According to this story Jesus told, there were two men that built two houses. They built their house for the same purpose. These two men built a house where they could have a place to live. These men built with the same plans. The Bible says most houses looked basically alike. They didn't have a lot of money in those days, and the houses were basically built with the same structure and often the same plan. The Bible talks about they built in the same place. You say, well, how do you know that? The reason we know that is that we are told the storm hit both houses. The fact that one man was wise who built his house and the other man was foolish who built his house also made absolutely, hear me today, it made absolutely no difference to the storm. The storm doesn't matter, folks, if you are wise or if you are foolish. It doesn't matter. The Bible tells us the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain fell, the Bible says. The winds blew. The floods came on both houses. And as I said earlier, every person, will face problems. Every person will experience pressures of life. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, hear me what the scripture is saying here today. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Let me tell you today, it's one thing to hear me preach here today. But it's another thing if you apply it to your life. If you hear and don't apply it, there's your problem. Here's what the scripture says. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. Who is that? The one that hears and the one that doeth. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The scripture is telling us if you hear the word and you apply it, you're a wise man. If you hear the word and you don't apply it, you're foolish. That's what the scripture is telling us here. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus was describing the storm. You see, he is describing it as rains falling, winds blowing, floods rising. Now, why did Jesus use these three elements to describe the storm? When you understand about the rain, it speaks of the pressures from above. When you read about the winds, it speaks of the pressures from around us. And the flood speaks of the pressures from below us. The lesson that is taught as Jesus was describing the storm is that this storm did not take the time, folks, hear me today. The storm did not take the time to determine which house that it was going to hit. It did not. Nor did this storm give warning to one that I'm going to hit you. You see, the storm did not stop and say, we can't bother that person because he's a preacher. It did not stop and say, we cannot rain upon this life because they're a Sunday school teacher. It did not. The flood cannot folks. We cannot flood that person the storm is saying, because they're a good church member. The storm didn't take the time to do those things. In Matthew 5:45, it says, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." Pressures come against all of us. There was a pastor that was often away. He preached a lot of revivals. And one day coming home, a man picked him up at the airport. And this man began to tell the preacher about a tornado that swept through his town. He told the preacher, he said, "Preacher, I lost everything. The tornado blew my house away. I have nothing left except these clothes that I have on." The preacher looked at him and said, "Sir, I don't want to say much, but I'm not surprised that it hit your house. See, I believe God was punishing you because of the way that you have been living. Believe this was God punishing you, sir." The man looked surprised, and then he said to the pastor, "The tornado got your house too." Folks, the rains of adversity fall on life, on the just and the unjust. The winds of trouble blow on the life of the just and the unjust. And the floods of misery rise on the life of the just and the unjust. You will never, hear me, you will never find a place to live, folks, that does not deal with some kind of weather problems. No matter where you live, you will have to face storms. Jesus is not telling us where we can find a safe place to live in this scripture, where the atmosphere is ideal or the winds were always gentle. That's not what he's talking about. Or where the rains always are in control and the sun's always shining and the climate is always perfect. He's not saying that here. Jesus knows the kind of place does not exist anywhere on earth. He knows that kind of place does not exist anywhere in life. Back in 1938, there was a man who was reading the newspaper. He read an advertisement about barometers, and he read where a man had invented these barometers, and they were advertising how these barometers would unfailingly predict the weather that would be coming. And this man thought that since he lived out on the ocean area, there is a long island there, and the barometer would be a good thing to have. So the man took a trip to Manhattan and bought one of the brand new barometers, and he brought the barometer back to his house. He then took it out of the box and was putting it on the wall, and he noticed that it was already warning of the hurricane that was coming. The man ran to the window and looked out, and there was a lot of clouds in the sky, and the wind was blowing about 5 to 10 miles an hour, and the sun was bright as it had ever been. And he took the barometer off the wall, shook it and beat it a little bit and hammered it. But the barometer was still a warning of a coming hurricane. The man got angry. In his mind, he thought he had gotten the only barometer that didn't work. So he put the barometer back in the box. He got in his car and drove it back to the man's store. And he chewed him out for giving him the one that he bought. It was broken. And he asked if he could exchange it. The manager of the store gave him a brand new one. Got back into his car and headed back home to Long Island. And as he got back to Long Island, as he pulled in his driveway, he noticed the house, that his house was gone. While he was away, a hurricane had hit Long Island and had blown his house off his property. You see, folks, the man's problem was not the barometer. The barometer was right all along. The problem was he did not believe the barometer. The problem was he didn't believe it. See, there is something you need to keep in mind today. It makes no difference if you're rich or poor. It makes no difference if you're saved or lost. It makes no difference, folks, if you're upper class, middle class, lower class, or don't have any class. You mark it down. You're going to have storms come in your life. Amen? Now, since you know the storms are coming into your life, you shouldn't shake the Bible, beat the Bible, or get upset with the Bible. You shouldn't even take your Bible and trade it in for another Bible. Because what you need to do is believe your Bible. Amen? Receive your Bible and obey your Bible. Amen? Amen. And we need to do what the Bible tells you to do so you can weather the storms that are coming in your life. Some of you are wondering, Pastor, why do storms come? As you read this story, folks, you will find that the storm revealed the quality of the foundation of those two houses. Imagine for a moment walking in the neighborhood of these two houses. You would have to see two nice houses standing side by side, and they look much alike. You couldn't tell the one house was weak or the one house was strong by looking at it, especially if you don't understand what you're looking at. You can't walk up and say, that's the strong house or that's the weak house, because you see two nice houses. You wouldn't be able to tell that one house would stand during the storm and one house would sink during the storm. Only the storm, hear me tonight, today, only the storm would reveal what house was built upon the rock and what house was built upon sin. You see, I'm looking right now at some homes, looking at some houses here, some big houses, some little houses, some pretty houses, some ugly houses, some older houses, some younger houses. Most of you look the same on the outside. But let a storm come into your life. And we'll see who has the real solid foundation. Amen? The fact of the storm, folks, that we must expect. Amen? The fall in the storm, we'll be exposed. In Luke 6:49 says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like the man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the storm did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. These houses, folks, were basically built in the same structure. These houses, basically the same design. These houses had been built out of basically the same materials. There was only one basic difference between these two houses. The people on the outside couldn't see it, but the builders knew it. One house was built on a firm foundation. One house was built on a faulty foundation. One house had a solid foundation. One house had a sandy foundation. The house that was built on the sand was left in great ruins. You see, folks, the foundation was of no worth. Who is Jesus talking about here in this passage of Scripture? The type of person Jesus is talking about here is a counterfeit Christian. Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand. Jesus makes it very clear. But he that heareth and doeth not, he is like a foolish man. You know who you are this morning. You can describe this type of person this way. The person, they come to church, they listen to the sermon, they follow along in their Bible, they maybe mark in their Bible, they listen to everything that is being said, but they walk out of the service the same way they walk in. This type of person treats the Word of God like a good movie. They enjoy it, but they do not let it affect the way they live. You know any person like that today? You see, this church and practically every church has their share of these type of people. People that come to church, they listen, but they do not let the Word of God change their life. See, polls in recent years estimate that 50% of Americans identify themselves as a born-again Christian. But these are the type of people that will sing the hymns, they will say amen, and they will say their prayers. And as long as the sun is shining, as long as the breeze is gentle, and as long as the rain has stalled, they are in. I'm a Christian. But when the clouds turn black, and the winds begin to swirl, and the rain becomes a monsoon, the house is blown away. You see, folks, Jesus gives us two requirements to build a good foundation. First requirement to build a good foundation, it must be the hearing of the Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God. In Luke 6:47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying. Both of these men heard the Word of God. Folks, I believe that it is important for you, as often as you can, to come to God's house and to hear the Word of God taught and preached. It's important. It's imperative. Every time you hear the Word of God, you receive another rock to shove into your house foundation. You will be given a more solid material to strengthen your foundation. It is one thing to hear the Word of God, and it is a must. But in order to build a good foundation, there must be the heeding of the Word of God. In other words, you must listen and obey the Word of God. In Luke 6:47 through 48, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Jesus is not saying that the wise man is one who just hears the Word of God. He is one that takes the Word of God and receives the Word of God and does what the Word of God commands him to do. There was a man in the crowd by the name of James. James never got over what Jesus had said. These words that Jesus had spoken were engraved in James's heart. In the book of James 1, verse 22 and 25, but be ye a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, he's looking into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, what he's saying here is, it's like when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you see your bedhead and you see you need to shave or whatever it is you need to do, and you say, oh well, my bedhead in the morning is ugly. That's one thing our pastor, when he did marriage counseling, he said, so what are you going to look at my wife? What are you going to do when you wake up in the morning and you see his bed head and his bad breath? He still loved me, going on 33 years. But that's what the scripture James is talking about. It's like the man looks in the mirror and doesn't do anything about it. When you come to the church and you hear the word of God, you're looking into the mirror. And God's trying to get you to see you need to do something about your way you're living. And when you walk out the door, I'm not only talking to sinners here. I'm talking about apostolics, folks, who are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. You come to church and God says, here, look at what you need to change. Oh, well. And you go your way. It's like going to Walmart and seeing all those people in their pajamas and their bedhead and everything. Come on, that is hideous. I don't understand people today. Come on. But folks, Jesus is saying, I'm showing you and I'm telling you what you need to do. Folks, think about something. Only a foolish man deceives himself. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Only a foolish man deceives himself. When you read in Matthew 7, in verse 25 and 26, it talks about the rock, or Petra. It does not mean a stone or a boulder, but it means a great outcropping of rock, a large expanse of bedrock. It is solid. It is stable. It is unmovable. But that scripture also talks about the sand. By contrast of the rock, it is a loose, unstable, and extremely movable. What this speaks of something composed entirely of opinions. I'm talking about the sand. Okay? It's talking here, it speaks of something composed entirely of opinions. It speaks of something that is entirely of speculation. It is a standard of men. The sand. It's people thinking, I don't care what Scripture says, I believe I can do this. I believe I can live this way. I'm telling you Scripture. I don't care. I've seen it over the years. I've preached things. I've preached all kinds of things. And I'm preaching from the Word of God. Of course, I believe it's important to live according to the Word of God. But some people want to do their own thing. They're on the sand. It is unstable. It is loose. It is entirely built upon opinions and speculations. It is a standard of men. Anybody ever heard of Madonna? Nobody ever heard of Madonna? Oh, there we go. Whew. A reporter one time asked Madonna, excuse me here, he asked Madonna this question, what type of religion training are you going to give your little girl? I'm going to baptize her Catholic. There are things about Catholicism, she said, I disagree with, but there are a lot of things I am still intrigued by. I still go to church, and I still light candles. The church provides that kind of sanctuary in the sense of community. I will teach her about Catholicism, but also about all religions, especially Buddhism, Judaism, Kabbalah. You see, my own religion combines all of these things. I would rather present the Bible to my daughter as some very interesting stories that you could learn from, rather than this is the rule you must live by. See what I said, folks? When you speak of the sand, it speaks of something composed entirely of opinions, entirely of speculation, entirely standards of men. Folks, Madonna is going to teach her children the exact same thing Jesus said not to teach. Man's standards are simply this. It's okay to hear the word of God, but you can live your life any way you want. I heard it. You know, Jesus is going to judge us according to what? The word. He's going to open the book. Did you live what the word says? Well, I heard it. But did you live it? I didn't think it was that important, Jesus. The Bible says that he's going to judge us according to the word. To hear the word of God and not to heed the word of God is a man that builds without a foundation, builds his house upon the earth. That sand. That speculation. That idea of my own opinion. The Bible guaranteed something about that kind of foundation. You see, when the storms of life hit, the fall, the Bible said, was great. This person does not intentionally build a house he thinks is going to fall. Hear me what I'm saying. They're not saying, oh, I'm going to build a house that's going to fall. No. He built a house. He had purpose. He had needs. This man has all confidence in the world that his house is going to stand. And it will stand firm until the storm comes. Until the storm comes. The fact of the storm that must be expected. The fall in the storm will expose things. You see, the force of the storm that can be endured is important. In Luke 6, 46 to 48. And why? This is awesome. This speaks to me, folks. The Lord is asking this question. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's like I want to say, so why do you call me pastor? I better shut my mouth right now. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Here were two men. On the outside, you would judge them by thinking that there was a problem between them that would be a minor problem if there was a problem. But Jesus was making us aware, folks, that the problem that existed was a major problem. Both men went to church. Both men heard the same sermon. Both men marked in their Bible. Both men listened. But there was a difference between them. One man obeyed what he heard. The other man did not. You see, Jesus teaches us that the mark of a wise man is not only hearing the word of God, he also obeys the word of God. A wise man, folks, believes the word of God. He will believe it. You see, there are people here now, today, that claim to believe the word of God. Your life speaks otherwise. Amen? Should I park right here for a minute? Someone once said, what you really believe, you live. The rest is just religious talk. Amen? Now let me prove that statement from Scripture. In James chapter 2, verse 17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." There are some here right now that will say, "Pastor, I believe the Bible. I know what the Bible says. I love the Bible. I believe in Jesus. I trust in Jesus." And yet there are some of you that won't even get into the water and follow Jesus' baptism. There are some here that claim to believe the Word of God, yet you have never repented of your sins. There are some here that claim to believe the Word of God, yet you will not be faithful to church. There are some of you here that claim to believe the Word of God, yet you will not get involved in the things in the church and be totally sold out and putting God first in your life. You see, there were words that were engraved on a cathedral in Lübeck, Germany. It says this, "Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not." You see, folks, a wise man will belong to the Son of God. You may be sitting here thinking today, "Pastor, I believe I belong to Jesus. But how can I know for sure if I really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I know, Pastor?" Well, let me tell you this. A person who belongs to Jesus, you will become like Jesus. Amen? Now think about this for a minute. Would Jesus get into the water and be baptized? He did. Would Jesus tithe? He did. Would Jesus go to church? He did that also. Would Jesus be a soul winner? The Bible says he came to seek and to save. He did that. Amen? Would Jesus be a servant? Would he get involved and do things for the Lord? He did that also. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commands." Now see, some people want to read it like this. "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his suggestions. And that saith, I know him and keepeth him, not his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought to himself also walk even as he walked." Folks, if you want to build a life that is going to last for eternity, you better build your life on the same foundation God is building his house on. Amen? You see, the only foundation that will stand throughout all eternity is Jesus Christ. You can build your life on the world that you can't, that you can see, or you can build your life on the world that you cannot see. That's why it's so hard sometimes for people, because they're used to the here and now. They're used to what they can see and what they can feel and what they can smell with all the senses that you have. But in the spiritual realm, folks, that's harder life to live. Because you don't see it. But that's where you better be building your life. If you are building your life on anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you are building your life on the earth, on the sand, and your life will soon crumble. There's a song that says, "My hope life is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." See, both of these men, folks, both of these men had ears to hear the word of God. But only one man had a heart to heed the word of God. And he made all the difference, folks, all the difference in the world when it came to his eternal life. Jesus teaches us today, folks, a great lesson. The Bible was never intended just to be written down. It was intended to be lived out. Build your life on the rock of salvation. Build your life on the rock of the Scriptures. Build your life on the rock of submission. Let's stand here today. This altar is open here this morning. You may have been coming to church for a long time in your life. You may have just been doing a lot of hearing. I want you to come up here and say, God, help me. Not to only hear, but help me to apply. Maybe you're here for the first time. You need God in your life. I'm telling you, folks, you build your life on this, you're going to be happy. You will never regret it. Never regret it. In my estimation, this is the greatest life. I wouldn't want to live any other way. I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want Him to lead me. I want Him to guide me. I say, Lord, I want to do Your will. I want to serve You with all of my heart. Help me, Lord, to apply this to my life. This altar's open today, folks. Come on. Let's come up here and talk to the Lord. Say, God, I want to build my house.